Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Rappahannock Area Health District in this morning, and Mary Chamberlain is here from the Health District. We can say good friend Mary Chamberlain because you were here a couple months ago. Talking about all of this going on. Mary, it's good to have you here. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning to you, Ted. It's great to be here.
Boy, a lot to talk about. I guess we should say up front, the CDC yesterday came out with the mask guidelines that basically said if you're fully vaccinated, masks aren't going to be needed. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess the next step is waiting to see what the governor's office says.
Exactly. And the last I had read in any kind of comments was VDH, Virginia Department of Health, was deferring to the governor's office. Mm-hmm. Thinking perhaps a decision will come today. And you and I had spoken about the fact that Governor Northam has always followed CDC guidelines. So we don't anticipate that he's going to change that pattern now. So, yeah.
We'll see. It will be interesting. And then just how it all plays out, because mm-hmm. businesses may decide we want to keep some of these things in place,
right.
And whether it's at in the workplace mm-hmm. or businesses you go into. So it's going to be interesting over the next few days and probably in the next week to see just how practically this all occurs.
I agree. So if there's not an executive order, a state mandate, then businesses can certainly decide for themselves what kind of mask rules they do and do not want to have. So we'll just need to, as community members, remind ourselves that each business can set its own rules and be prepared, mm-hmm. Whether we're fully vaccinated or not. Carrying a mask with you at all times is still the best idea.
That's a good point, because to just say, I'm done with them,
right,
and get rid of them,
right,
when there are going to be cases, and you have to think. I mean, it's going to be kind of weird
to not wear masks.
I mean, I think that there's going to be some kind of, and even the social distancing. I mean, there are things I think that may be here to stay.
I agree. My husband and I were actually just talking about in business settings, handshakes.
Yeah.
Will we go back to that? Will we feel comfortable with that? To what degree? Or are we just going to kind of wave across the room to people?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been funny. And I have been surprised. And a couple of doctors I know, they've actually shaken hands.
Oh, yeah.
They've said, we've both said we've been vaccinated.
Yeah.
And so I've been surprised that there has been more handshaking.
Right.
Than I expected.
Has that been more recent?
Yes.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Since the vaccinations.
I'd say in the past 2 to 3 weeks.
Right. So that just shows people are becoming more comfortable.
I think so.
And just kind of taking a bigger deep breath, exhaling a little bit, which is good. So that's good. I mean, back to normal is where we all want to be, whatever that normal looks like.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, and in your case, working a lot from home.
Yes.
Whenever the day comes when it's, I just can't imagine that all of a sudden it's just going to be like, well, we're going to open, a lot of offices will say we're going to reopen again. There may not be a need to do as much as it used to be.
Exactly. I can speak for myself and a lot of our team. We do work remotely, and I don't personally see a need for any of us, for the most part, to be in the office.
Right.
We're either at home or in the field, and I don't think that'll change. I know in some larger businesses, government entities, they're weighing how to bring people back, and they're doing sort of a sliding percentage of who's going to be in the offices.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a lot of government workers in our area, of course, so I'm sure a lot of people can attest to the fluidity in those agencies and their offices.
It's been quite a year.
It's, yes.
Which you can attest to, because
I can.
It was through the pandemic that you hooked up with the Rappahannock Area Health District.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's been great. So I had mentioned this in a past broadcast with you, but I was originally a volunteer through the Medical Reserve Corps.
Yeah.
And filled a need, and then a position became available. And, sometimes, especially at a certain age, you follow your heart a little more, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? This feels right to me, and I've never looked back, so... Yeah, it's been great.
It's so it's so interesting, those kind of stories, and especially as we go along this morning, we're going to talk about a lot of what the health district has been doing, because
yeah.
Talk about people and places and things where you're kind of out of your comfort zone.
Right.
I can't think of many places like the Rappahannock Area Health District that has just had to totally just rechange everything you were doing and really stop a lot of things.
Yes.
Because of the pandemic.
Yes. And so many of our, tenured team members have had to take on new roles.
Yeah.
They're wearing multiple hats. They've been working tirelessly. Sometimes I just sit back and watch what's happening with our team, and I'm very humbled. These people are already professionals and experts in their fields, and then they had to become very quickly professionals and experts in a field that was unknown to them. So
mm-hmm.
It's been pretty amazing for me to be part of this team.
It has been amazing to me in knowing knowing a few people that worked in real specific areas, and all of a sudden the pandemic came and they were coming in here and talking about logistics and this or that, something totally different than what they were. Restaurant inspections. We've done a whole show a couple of years ago on what the health district does with restaurant inspections.
Mm-hmm.
And the three people that came in for that show have all come in different roles now with the pandemic. And,
right.
And like you say, I mean, they were professionals in one area and if it had totally pivoted.
Yes, exactly. And did so... to me, it looked seamless. I was very humbled and in awe of what they were able to do. So we are slowly starting to get back to our regular services
mm-hmm.
At our health departments within the health district. But that's, little by little, especially as we go to smaller COVID-19 vaccination sites, not the larger sites we've been having. We're able to do that.
Yeah.
So.
And we're going to get into all that because all that is still going on.
Yes.
And I've always referred to you in the Rappahannock Area Health District as you're my numbers girl.
Yes.
Because yeah. I get the numbers every morning from mm-hmm. you, and it really the last few weeks mm-hmm. you can really starkly see that the numbers are changing and finally going down.
Absolutely, I agree. And it's really encouraging. I'm a member of the community too, not just, in my role with REHD. And so for me, when those numbers come up, which is we have an amazing data team as well.
Yeah.
So they come to me through them. And then, of course, I present them to the public and to people like you. So, but yes, it's been very encouraging to get up in the morning and wait for those numbers to roll in and feel really good about them.
That is interesting, and I never thought of it. You just said that. It's one thing because in my case, I look at it, and we post them.
Yeah.
But we're part of the community.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
a great way to look at it.
Right.
It's more than you're doing a service, but you're mm-hmm. but you mean we live here and we're part of those numbers too.
Absolutely. So yeah, selfishly, I'm like, I get to see these first, and then yay, I get to celebrate
yeah.
at home and then share out. And you might have seen a post recently where I put the numbers up, the daily data, but I put a little note to say, hey, look, we're doing a great job,
Right, yeah, because it really became, maybe 6 weeks or so, was very worrisome.
Agreed.
That the numbers all of a sudden took this change, and because for a while you weren't posting them as we weren't seeing everything every day, just because everything had kind of leveled off.
Right.
And then it changed.
Right.
And it was really a concern.
It was, I agree. And so originally when I changed formatting for my reporting, I thought, well, let me just do kind of a Monday, Wednesday, Friday for
yeah.
case hospitalization, death numbers. Unfortunately, I hate to say that word. And then I'll mix it up and throw some positive vaccination numbers in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But our community actually reached out and said they wanted to see the numbers every day, which I'm happy to do. So I went back to that. But I also didn't feel the need to post every day for a little while. As you mentioned, things sort of plateaued. They were quiet. So I thought, we'll focus on some positive news as well. Whether I'll keep posting every day, you know, for the next year, hopefully no. Hopefully I won't have to do that. So,
Mary Chamberlain here with the Rappahannock Erie Health District. Good stuff. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about what is going on with the health district because vaccinations continue and testing continues.
Yes.
And we'll get into all that when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
First, get the News Talk 1230 WFVA lineup, local news, traffic, weather, and more online now at newstalk1230.net. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EP Mobility, here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun. Visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mary Chamberlain here with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Mary, one of the things I guess that we should also mention as we talk about what may be happening with the mask mandate is, no matter what happens, if you feel, especially if you're in a vulnerable group, mm-hmm. if you feel like you should keep wearing a mask, you should keep wearing a mask.
Absolutely. And although the news, the CDC's guidelines, you know, came out pretty late yesterday, that when I got the news, and of course we're waiting for the governor's decision, but I did read that people who are, you know, immune compromised, perhaps people of a certain age group, should probably consider continuing to wear masks regardless. And the bottom line is, if you're a vaccinated person, do what feels comfortable for you. There mm-hmm. may be times that you feel great saying, oh, I don't need my mask now. This is wonderful. And then other times you might feel more comfortable with a mask on. It's completely up to you. We all have the masks. Use them as you want. Don't use them. It'll be up to you.
Yeah. And it's the same with social distancing and even going back to some events that might be taking place. If you feel like, you know, whether maybe it's church.
Agree.
That you just feel like, I like the situation right now, and I think I'll stay home and watch it that way, or I'll sit in my car in an outdoor setting. It really is an individual choice.
It is an individual choice, Ted. And also, you know, we have to keep in mind that we've all been through a lot in this past. It's been over a year really now.
Yeah.
And some of us will be a little more slow to acclimate to the new normal and maybe feel a little more trepidation mm-hmm. with completely shedding safety mitigations, even when the guidelines say we can. So again, that's completely okay. You know, we all just need to feel comfortable. So, you know, I just encourage everybody, obviously, to get vaccinated so that you have those options.
And boy, that's such an important point. The vaccinations are still taking place. You can still get one, and now you can. If I'm not mistaken, you can now most any place just walk up and get one.
Yes, we have so many partnering pharmacies. There are providers' offices, pediatricians' offices. Most of those, the latter, you would have to be a patient of those practices. But there's so many,
yeah.
So a lot of people can be vaccinated at their own doctor's offices. We still have our clinics, certainly. So yes, and we are all walk-in. You can still pre-register, which we do recommend, just because you get done with the paperwork ahead of time, mm-hmm. and you literally walk in, and the process is even more streamlined. But it is all walk-in. You're not even picking times anymore.
Boy, when you think about it, Mary, what? This has been just remarkable of how this started late in the year, and you know it was you had to fall into certain groups and in some cases early on they were talking about it was going to be probably in my case at least they were talking about, you know, late in the spring, maybe even early summer,
right? May, June, yeah.
And we all now, you know, most of us who want to be vaccinated have been vaccinated.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's been fluidity. Those are my words of the year. You know, everything. The Rappahannock Area Health District, all of us have had to be really on our toes and be very flexible. So many different changes, and then trying to communicate all of those changes to our community, and try not to have everything be so confusing. But this is all a very good change. The fact that people can go just about anywhere now and get a vaccine whenever they want.
Yeah. No, that was just such a pipe dream. I mean, we're just even getting a vaccine.
right,
with such a thing, because at this time last year, we heard all kinds of things that there might not even be a vaccine this year.
I was just kind of picturing that in my head this time last year. Geez, May 2020, such a different time. We were just in such a different place.
Yeah, we didn't know things.
No,
we were wiping everything down. You know, every few minutes in some cases, and we really have come a long way.
We have, and it feels good, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It does. But we'll never be the same. That's the other thing. Even when we get back to normal, I think we're always going to be looking over our shoulder. And the next time we hear about an outbreak, some kind of an outbreak, I don't know what that's going to be like.
Yeah, I agree. On a personal level, certainly, you know, we don't want people to have anxiety. We don't want them to feel anxious. However, we do also want people to remain vigilant, remain cautious.
Yeah.
As you said, the next time, you know, we will have cold and flu season upon us, and you know, before you know it. I don't mean to skip over summer for those who love the summer months, but, you know, last year's flu season was virtually non-existent.
That's the amazing thing about all this. And it does make you think that, you know, maybe there is something to masks at that time of year.
Absolutely. So everything I've read from every expert in the field, you know, epidemiology, science, that the masks and social distancing and hand washing, the safety mitigations we practiced this past flu season certainly led to the decrease in cases.
If you had been in here a year and a half ago and had said, you know what, we think the Rappahannock Area Health District thinks that if we wore masks during flu season, we would have been laughed out. You know, it would have been like, well, that might be okay for them, but it's not going to be okay for me. But boy, it has just been that's been an eye opener about how flu season was just not an issue.
I agree. And actually, Ted, Dr. Fauci, I listen to a lot of his briefings, read a lot of what he writes, and he thinks that we will have seasonal mask wearing. So perhaps, you know, in the fall, winter, flu, cold season, and maybe a coronavirus season, if this is a seasonal virus, the virus isn't going away. It's just the pandemic is going away. And yes, we're so grateful for that. So it may be that we have different mandates come cold and flu season. I can't say for sure now, obviously.
Yeah.
Or personally, we may choose to put our masks back on in the fall.
Yeah. No, I can definitely see that, especially if you're going to be in a closed-in space or just if you think that just wearing a mask certain times may keep you healthy.
Absolutely.
I would certainly consider it.
I would too. And at this point, I have such a really nice collection of fun masks.
Oh, I know.
I need to wear them.
I know. That's the thing that we've gotten into so many habits
now
that it's going to take a time for the new normal.
Right.
I don't know what that's going to look like.
Well, and as you said, some of those habits they're actually good habits, you know. So we've learned some lessons along the way, and you know, I'm one of those people who kind of has a boundary around my personal space anyway.
Right.
So it's good if people stay a little distance. Also, as I get older, I can't see them as well anyway if they get too close.
I know. Yes. Yes. Mary Chamberlain here with the Rappahannock Area Health District, and we've got lots to talk about this morning. Again, just to kind of recap as far as the masks and all go. The Rappahannock Area Health District is like all of us. We now wait to see what the governor tells us to do, and then that will be how we go forward.
Absolutely. So we're waiting. Yeah, yeah. So hopefully, like I said, today we might hear something. I would assume it would be today.
It seems like that of everything we've read, and of course, and again, the vaccinations are out there, and if you think that you have symptoms of COVID, you still can get tested.
Absolutely. So testing is widely available. It has been for some time. And we still offer testing through REHD, free drive-through testing, every Friday at Dixon Park from 1:30 to 4:30. So there's always that option. That's a standing free testing event. But so many urgent cares, doctor's offices, CVSs, really testing is so widely available. So we encourage people to get tested if they think they need to.
Well, and when we talk about the numbers and you seeing the numbers and what you're seeing, people are still being people are still coming down with it. People are still dying from it. There are cases of that. So
this is
nothing to. If you can get vaccinated, get vaccinated.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, we do still have quite a few people being tested in the district. And we have the PCR testing and antigen testing, which is the more rapid testing, 15-minute. We have different metrics for both of those. There's a lot of people being tested still, which is a good thing. We want people being tested. And contact tracing is still just as important as it has ever been. And it starts with us. If I've had to go get tested because I have symptoms or I've been exposed, then it's my responsibility to let people around me know, hey, you're going to probably get a call from a contact tracer. Please answer the phone. Please provide some information. I just wanted to let you know. So the responsibility does start with us, and then our contact tracers are amazing and will walk people through the process if they've been exposed.
And if you think you have symptoms, stay home.
Please, yes, absolutely. Good point. Please stay home, yes.
Mary Chamberlain here. We're going to be joined by another guest with the Rappahannock Erie Health District in just a second. Take a quick break and be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is coming up on 8:30 this morning.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Rappahannock Erie Health District, our focus this morning, Mary Chamberlain here. And we welcome Rappahannock Erie Health District nurse, Sheila Mathis is here. Sheila, it's good to have you here. Good morning.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
And Sheila, it's National Nurses Week, so we can say thank you to you. Wow, what a year it has been.
It sure has. You know, our nursing staff at the district have worked really, really hard this entire year. And so, you know, we're grateful to be able to celebrate them and all of their achievements and accomplishments and all that they've done for the community this year. But yes, it's been a busy year.
Boy, to get into nursing, and I'm sure, I mean, you just never expected, none of us ever expected to be using the word pandemic.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, I've spoken to nurses that are longtime nurses, retirees, and every single person has said they've never seen anything quite like this. It has challenged us both intellectually and physically, but yet, you know, many nurses continue to survive and thrive and serve during this time. It's just been really challenging for all of us.
Well, and for all of us, we all worried about just how to stay safe. Mm-hmm. And you all were on the front lines in every way.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we really instituted screening early on. The staff had to be educated about symptoms and how to check for their symptoms every day. And so, you know, we really were at the forefront of trying to make sure that there was no transmission between personnel, and also, of course, no transmission to the community, at least within our ranks. We had so many volunteers that came to help us, our Medical Reserve Corps individuals and also military personnel, in addition to our own staff. And all of them were very diligent in ensuring that they did not promote any disease transmission during the work that they were doing. So it was great. And we continue to provide those services. As Mary was saying earlier, we still have testing events as well as vaccination services in the community in our health district.
And it's so important, whether it's whether it's vaccination or whether, because you had come in and I noticed you were shaking your head, and just even about if you think that you have some of the symptoms, you need to get that checked out.
Absolutely. And some of the symptoms are atypical. I think everyone was expecting, you know, more respiratory symptoms to be the common theme. And a lot of times people had gastrointestinal symptoms or other symptoms and may have not reported those symptoms and not had them investigated. And so now we tell anyone, if you have any symptoms at all, please, please, please go and get examined and make sure that you get tested and make sure it's not related to COVID-19 infection.
Right, because you don't want to be living your life and spreading things unknowingly.
Exactly, exactly. So My hope is that people will continue to do that, even as we are changing mask guidelines, not to become too lax or too comfortable with the idea that maybe this is all over, but to continue to institute those protective measures for ourselves and the community.
Well, you speak like a nurse. If the governor today were to say we're going to go, you know, word for word for what the CDC says, mm-hmm. we still need to. There are some basics that we still need to follow.
Absolutely. I think, you know, if you think about it, there are other illnesses and concerns. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of norovirus, for example, that's a seasonal illness that people sometimes experience. We still need to institute some of these protective measures and not to completely discard them. And so that is my hope, that even as my hope is to get rid of the mask, too, but certainly to remember that we still need to protect ourselves and others.
Were you one of the nurses? Because every nurse I know, and my sister-in-law is a nurse, and especially with the hand washing, would always just say, "Well, you people, if you'd gone to nursing school, we learned the first week that about how thorough you need to be washing your hands."
Oh yes, yes, that was something that has always been a mantra, you know, and always taught to nursing students as well as nursing professionals. And we had so many different types of hand sanitization available, but yes. You know, for us that are nurses, that was something we did anyway. So now having the public realize the importance of it is just all the better for all of us. So
it's amazing. I mean, there are now even how apps were created about mm-hmm. how for the length, so to make sure you washed your hands long enough.
Yes, that 20 seconds. Yeah, that's the golden rule, 20 seconds. And if you can sing "Row, Row, Row Your Boat" 20 seconds worth, time yourself, then you're good to go.
It took a long time to get used to doing that. But, I mean, it was one of those things that to keep us safe and to keep the community safe.
Absolutely. I think we underestimate the ability of small measures to make a big difference in protecting ourselves and others. And so hand washing, the distancing, and also mask use also helped to stem the spread of COVID-19. And now that vaccines are underway in our community, we're golden now. We're doing good.
Yep. Yeah, now we are. Boy, mm-hmm. to hear those words. I mean, we've waited a year to hear that kind of stuff.
I know. I can hardly believe it.
Well, the other thing, Sheila, as far as the fact of being, you know, with what you do with the Rappahannock Area Health District, and we all were so focused on it in the health district too, but there still were a lot of other things that couldn't be just forgotten and that you all had to be involved with.
Right, absolutely. You know, we continue to provide services through a change schedule at the health district. And a lot of people are unfamiliar with all the services we provide. So the health district does provide a fascinating array of services under the leadership of our new medical director, Dr. Olubengo Obasanjo, and also our nurse manager, Jennifer Shiflett. All of the dedicated and hardworking members of our team continue to provide these services. And so we provide immunization services to the community, to adults and children. Also, environmental health services. This is a biggie because a lot of people don't realize that our environmental health team provides on-site inspections to check for building purposes and to make sure that the building area is well-suited for whatever construction mm-hmm. will take place. And also, they also look at restaurants. And so they inspect restaurants and make sure restaurant inspections are good. And they do so many other things in the community that help to keep us safe. We also have an epidemiologist that looks at disease transmission, and these are other infectious diseases, not just COVID, to prevent the spread of those diseases in the community. And so they investigate and determine whether or not there is a concern that needs to be addressed. We also have our Every Woman's Life program. Every Woman's Life is a program that's a grant-funded program, but it provides the ability for women to receive mammograms as well as pap smears to detect cervical cancer and breast cancer. And so we have a large number of community members that get referred to our EWL program. In fact, our program is one of the larger programs in the state to provide these services and help women to be able to get insured if necessary, if they are determined to have cancer. Also, we have family planning services, so we help with reproductive health and help to teach and educate clients and patients about what their options are as far as protecting themselves, mm-hmm. or also as far as deciding whether or not they want to have pregnancy occur, and also how to have healthy pregnancies, because that's another biggie, especially with COVID, with the stressors that everyone is under. Sometimes those are the little things that get forgotten. So taking good care of oneself to promote a good pregnancy is so, so important. Also, we have long-term care screening. So we have a team of nurses that go out to individuals' homes to determine whether or not they are eligible for long-term care services, either in the home or in an institution or a facility. And so this is a very, very important service. During the COVID pandemic, and as we've been experiencing this, we've still had nurses going out and also making calls to people and having remote video conferencing, for example, to determine if they needed help. And this was so important because these individuals were confined to their homes, sometimes without assistance. And so the nurses were able to help them get more help. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a lot of work. Those are a lot of areas, and we're just scratching the surface here.
Yes, yes, because there are so many other services. We continue to do maternity referrals for patients that need maternity care. We provide education. We do pregnancy testing. Our newcomer health program helps to screen individuals that are newly arrived to the United States and also to refer them to community providers. And of course, we have sexually transmitted infection testing. As Mary and I were talking about not too long ago, one of the things that were forgotten during the COVID pandemic were individuals getting tested and making sure that they were safe and practicing safer behaviors. And we also do tuberculosis screening, case investigation, and treatment of latent TB infection. And also we have our Women, Infant, Children program, a WIC program, which many people are familiar with, to help provide nutritional support to our community members, to mommies and babies. Yep.
Boy, Mary, that's a lot of areas.
It's a lot of areas.
And I think for people who just thought, oh, well, this is all the, you know, you're not you've been in the news in the last, you know, over the last year with COVID, but you have over the years and really help the community in so many ways.
Yeah, I would venture to say, Ted, that most of our community, particularly those who began following us on social media, we didn't have social media formats, platforms, until April of last year. They only know us for COVID-19. So it's wonderful now that they can start to learn who their local health district is, what services are provided, and that there are local health departments as well that fall into this district. So we do so much. It's amazing. I mean, I'm still amazed listening to Sheila just say it. I know these things, but hearing it, it's incredible to me, the services we offer to our community.
In a sort of a strange kind of way, Sheila, when you think about it, you know, perhaps after the pandemic, maybe it is an eye opener that some of these kind of things are offered through the Rappahannock Area Health District, and who knows, we may end up being a healthier community.
Yes, you know, you raised such a really good point. I think that a lot of times people are unfamiliar with what we do from day to day. And as I mentioned, these activities have been going on throughout the pandemic,
right,
kind of in the background. And so those are all efforts. In every single program, the effort is really to help our community be healthier. So more awareness means people can avail themselves of the services we provide. And that means they can utilize them more and be healthier for it. So that's what our hope is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, I noticed, I mean, Mary, you're the one, and I've always said that, I mean, the Rappahannock Area Health District Facebook page is such a wealth of information. It just goes way beyond numbers, and it has been interesting to see in recent weeks as things start to shift a little bit from COVID. You do continue to provide all kinds of really valuable information on other areas of life.
Right. There's so much out there to help people live healthier lives. So that information, as you had mentioned when I was here previously, I do look for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I consciously, purposefully look for other information that doesn't have to always do with COVID-19.
Yeah.
And as we start to transition more into focusing on the services that we offer and are able to offer more services in clinic over time, I want our communities to be aware of all of this. So so it's been a good stepping stone to start sharing information about other aspects of healthcare.
We were talking before you got here, Sheila, about the fact that even if it's important going forward, especially right away. If a person doesn't feel comfortable just ditching a mask, mm-hmm. keep wearing it. You know, you'll right. keep doing the things that make you feel safe, and especially if you're around vulnerable people mm-hmm. or you are a vulnerable person.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would encourage anyone to continue to do that. You know, it will become more socially acceptable to see people wearing masks. And I think a lot of people are concerned about offending others or not being able to communicate well with a mask on. But during this past year, we've all had to accommodate the need to wear a mask. And I think those that feel comfortable doing so should continue to do so. And there are some circumstances that we may want to continue to wear a mask, such as in very close settings, traveling on public transportation.
Yeah.
We may want to continue to wear a mask even if we've been vaccinated, because there may be some benefit in that also. But we'll await Governor Northam's response and what mm-hmm. we should do. Here in Virginia, but certainly you're absolutely right. Those are things to be considered.
Boy, and the whole thing with flu season this year mm-hmm. was really an eye opener.
Yes.
It makes you think.
Yes.
You know, who wants to have the flu or you know get a bad cold? Those mm-hmm. kind of things. If this is something you can do during the winter season at certain times to wear a mask, maybe there's something to that.
Oh, yeah. I would completely agree with you. I think that, you know, when they did research to see what the rates of infections were, respiratory infections, even problems with asthma, because, again, people sometimes have underlying conditions where an upper respiratory infection can exacerbate that condition,
yeah.
like asthma. So there were less issues with asthma, you know, attacks that were difficult to control. There were less issues with people having, you know, influenza, for example.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, there may be some need to seasonally wear a mask, and individuals may choose to wear them year round if they feel more comfortable doing that.
We didn't ask you. Sheila Mathis with the Rappahannock Area Health District, mm-hmm. One of our guests here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA, and with it Nurses Week and everything, how did you decide to be a nurse?
Oh, wow. Well, I would say, you know, I've been a nurse for over 30 years,
mm-hmm.
And interestingly, I was a business major. When things started out, realized I didn't like that very much.
Okay.
Under the suggestion of my father, said, you know, you should think about being a nurse. We had nurses in our family. And, of course, the support of my husband, Derek, went to LPN school many years ago and just loved it. Absolutely loved taking care of people, loved helping people. And the rest is history. And so just having, you know, to have that experience, even as an LPN, doing home care, caring for people.
Yeah.
And then later becoming an RN and working in labor and delivery and later becoming a midwife. All of those experiences helped me to do the work that I do today. And so even though I'm not doing, you know, direct maternity care services, I still am able to guide patients, to help staff members, and also help the community, because I just love helping people. And so that was a calling for me.
Wow. What a great story. And what an opportunity you have in the health district. And during these times, as tough as it's been, and I'm sure you've gone home a lot of nights just exhausted, but you got to just the fact that you're able to help the community along.
Oh, yes. I think that every single staff member, and like I said, we have a huge complement of nursing staff. Their function under direction of Dr. Obasanjo and also Jennifer Shiflett. And they are dedicated. We have nurses that have been there for years.
Hmm.
And the reason that they're there is because this is really a calling for them as well. And so they serve tirelessly the public. And so, yes, there are days where we're fatigued, but we get up the next day and we decide to continue on and to press on because we love the work we do and we love our community and we are committed to helping and making a difference.
Mm. Well, thank you for what you do. Thank you, all of you. You're sort of the upfront person today, but for all of you, I mean, you all have just had such an impact on us, and especially as we turn the corner on all of this.
Oh, absolutely. Can't wait to turn the corner.
Yes. Can't get here soon enough.
That's right.
Sheila Mathis here, and Mary Chamberlain with the Rappahannock Area Health District. We will conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mary Chamberlain and Sheila Mathis with the Rappahannock Area Health District here this morning. Before we get out of here, Sheila, you also have been involved as what, the safety officer? Was that your...
Yeah, that's the proper title, yes.
So just as far, you know, going forward, we all do want to still to stay safe. And even though we're vaccinated, but you know, it's not as though we still need to practice safety, I would think.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, my role as safety officer emerged because once we institute what we call the incident command structure within the local health district, in response to any regional or medical emergencies, then there are certain roles that emerge from that particular structure. And so one of the roles is Incident Command Chief. Jennifer Shiflett is currently acting as our Incident Command Chief. And my role as Safety Officer is to just take a look at some of the safety concerns that might impact the personnel that are working at the vaccination pods,
okay,
as well as any potential community member safety issues. And so I really work in a consultative role in that regard and kind of just survey any concerns and try to address and make recommendations for mitigation of those concerns to make sure everybody's healthy and safe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thus the many hats that our professionals wear on our team that I had mentioned earlier. So
yeah, yeah. Well, you all, everything we talked before you got here just about how everything changed so much, yeah. And you all took on different roles.
Oh, yes. Everyone took on different roles. And so as we do turn that corner, as you mentioned earlier, nurses have to kind of re-engage each other and also into the roles that they had previously. Hmm. And so we are also changing as the community's changing and guidelines are changing. Our internal workings are changing, too, to be able to continue to provide those services to the community.
Mm-hmm. Again, Mary, the numbers look good, but we need to stay safe and healthy and in do all those kind of things. And again, vaccinations continue to take place, and also testing in case you think you just need to be tested.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to let you know and let our your audience know that as of the last week, we had 77.6% of our demographic of 65 plus in our RHD community vaccinated with at least one dose, the first dose. So that's really encouraging. We're at 49.1% for our 18 plus. So we got a little work to do, but we're definitely getting there. And we're doing an excellent job with everything. Our percent positivity is coming down. Our hospitalizations are coming down, which to me personally is a great sign. And our case count average is definitely coming down. But yes, we need to stay vigilant.
This is the first time, I think, as I've talked to somebody, because you to read your statistics, you put glasses on with your face mask, and I could see
like
that it fogged up.
Oh, yes. I know.
Yes. One of the great things about, not so great things about face masks.
Right, right.
Mary Chamberlain, Sheila Mathis with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Thank you both for coming in. Great stuff this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us today, Ted.
Thank you
for what you do, and you've been in the front lines. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Take care.
That is it. Thank you for listening. Have a safe and great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.